Walt Whitman's Drum Taps, the complete 1865 edition, is the first publication of Whitman's original Civil War poetry collection, since the Bard himself published Drum Taps over 150 years ago. Many of the poems in Drum Taps eventually found their way into Leaves of Grass. Lawrence Kramer is an English professor and musicologist at Fordham University and especially interested in the sonic elements of Whitman's poetry. He has set several of Whitman's poems to music and has a unique perspective on this great American poet's work as a result. Professor Kramer will be reading from and speaking about Drum Taps at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York, this coming Wednesday, August 5th, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
What a great pleasure to be here, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you for doing this. At what point, how did you get onto this beat of editing this particular classic edition, 1865?
Well, it was a very long process. It actually started as far back as the year 2000, when I was asked to edit a collection of scholarly writings about Whitman and music. And that eventually did turn into a book. And I learned something very fascinating from that book, which is that aside from the fact that the first important composers to set Whitman's poetry were not American, we got into the game late, that the vast majority of significant settings of Whitman's poems were from the Civil War materials. And that's just something I tucked away in the back of my mind. I mean, I teach Whitman all the time, so that was something that I would do. And then many years later, in a graduate seminar, which was intended to kind of teach graduate students how to do research, I said, we need to look at the publication history of this volume. And I set them various tasks. The results were so interesting that I decided, you know, it's really about time that somebody brings this book back. It's really a lost classic of American literature. As you said at the top, it hasn't been published in an accessible one-volume book in 150 years. And, I mean, there was a facsimile edition, which is owned by a grand total of 40 libraries worldwide. You can't get it. and so I thought it was timely. And happily, the folks at New York Review agreed. They have a poetry series which is devoted to things that have been forgotten. And the original volume of Drum Taps qualified. So we went ahead and brought this book out.
So my general knowledge of Whitman is that so much was eventually rolled into Leaves of Grass. How many other volumes were there that made up that volume?
Well, Leaves of Grass kept growing. I think it went through 13 different editions in Whitman's lifetime. And by the time he was working on Drum Taps, it had already passed into its third edition. And he would bring out the fourth edition in 1867, 2 years after the war. So the expansion of Leaves of Grass was, I think, always on Whitman's mind. And the only book that he contemplated publishing separately was Drum Taps. And he actually made a series of very strenuous, very heroic, and financially somewhat reckless efforts to get Drum Taps into print separate from Leaves of Grass, simply because he felt that the war was such a major event, such a watershed event in American history, that it required its own separate chronicle. And then, for reasons which we can only speculate about, and in relatively short order, he changed his mind. And once he put the poems from Drum Taps in Leaves of Grass, he began the process of dismantling the original book. But in 1867, he simply had the unbound copies of Drum Taps sewn into Leaves of Grass, so it was there in a chunk. But then he began to pick and choose, began to move poems in, move poems out. And the section of Drum Taps, which is called, the section of Leaves of Grass, which is called Drum Taps, is the version by which most readers for 150 years have known these Civil War poems. And it's really a kind of shrunken torso of its former self.
So what is in here that we wouldn't find in Leaves of Grass?
Well, in terms of actual texts, probably nothing. Because all of the poems, you know, Whitman never threw anything out.
Right.
All of the poems are there. But what you have is the original order of the poems, the original texts of the poems, which create an awareness of context and produce a unified, large-scale work interpreting the Civil War, which is in excess of, and in many important ways, different from the shrunken work, the smaller work that is present in Leaves of Grass.
So talk to me about the original text. So how was the text changed over the years?
The original text was changed over the years because Whitman was an incessant reviser, and so he would tinker with these poems. And sometimes the tinkering was done on a very minute scale. You know, do you italicize this? Do you put an epigraph on that? And in other occasions, he was simply a question of cutting and reinserting. So that over the years, the original drum taps simply got smaller and smaller. Its basic design was preserved. I mean, one has to say that. With drum taps is really all about what happens when enthusiasm for a war which you understand to be necessary turns into a sense of extraordinary regret for the sacrifices and brutalities that it inflicts on an entire country. And that's in both versions. But the version in this volume is more elaborate, more richly contextualized, and in some ways more honest.
I'm curious as to the timeline. So this is the 1865 edition.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual writing of the poems was done when, and what was happening in the war and in the world as this was going on,
yeah.
As his authorship was...
Yeah. Yes, it's factually a fascinating story, and the essential fact that has to be kept in mind is that while working on drum taps, Whitman was spending most of his time working as a hospital volunteer in and around Washington, D.C. He was a tireless visitor, supporter, consoler of wounded soldiers. And in fact, his experience of the war, as he later would testify repeatedly, was fundamentally shaped by this experience.
Yes.
So, yeah.
When in that idea of it being fundamentally shaped, and again, what you said about him constantly revising, so he would look at it. He ultimately was the editor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, he was looking at it and saying, "I don't like this."
That's right. At the very end of his life, when the so-called deathbed edition of Leaves of Grass
yes.
was being produced, he made a very interesting statement, which actually justifies everything that we've been doing, tinkering with this text. He said, "The posterity may do with this book what it will. I would like them to see what I was pleased to do with it."
That's a great, great statement.
Yeah.
I don't want to bury the lead here. The poems in this book are some of his most iconic.
Yes, that's right.
Dresser, Oh Captain, My Captain. I mean, the list goes on. There are amazing poems in this volume.
That's right. And one of the important things about that observation is that Whitman, who published or sort of published two versions of this book in 1865, was extremely aware of that. The most important addition to drum taps, the most important difference between the drum taps of Leaves of Grass and the drum taps of the 1865 edition is the inclusion of When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed, which is the lead poem in the second group of poems, which he called the sequel. Of the 1865 book, so that he separated them in Leaves of Grass, which is a kind of a major decision, because clearly the way he published the volume, that elegy, which he spent the time between the end of the war and the publication in October 1865, that's the major statement in this text. And of course, it's one of his most famous poems and also one of the ones most often musicalized.
Mm. Talk to us about your interest in the musicality of this work.
Well, the cadences of Whitman's poetry have been in my ears since I was in high school. I mean, this is one of those, you know, love affairs with a poet, right? You just go to the library one day, open the book, and, you know, bingo.
Right.
I was also, at the time, you know, kind of educating myself musically and studying music. I mean, I am, as you mentioned at the head, this somewhat odd combination of English professor, music professor, composer, so they all kind of dovetail. And gradually, I was sort of drawn to Whitman as I became more and more interested in writing vocal music. And so as it happens, the very first song cycle I ever composed was on three Whitman poems, one of which, Dirge for Two Veterans, was from drum taps. And I've returned to Whitman relatively frequently in the years since. I think that his command of an American idiom, vigorous, informal, and yet capable of great precision and exactitude, is unrivaled in American poetry. So if you're looking for an American voice, and one day, not long ago, I woke up and I said to myself, come on, Kramer, why is it that you've never set any poetry except by American writers? And I think the answer to that is that it's that American voice that, you know, that's been in my ears since childhood.
In putting, in editing a volume like this and putting it back to its original form, what investigation goes into that?
Well, a great deal. One of the virtues, I hope, you know, of this volume is its footnote apparatus. There are close to 200 footnotes in this book. And what they intend to do is make this text available to people who are not familiar with the history of the Civil War and may not be familiar with some of the poetic sources on which Whitman drew. So from the point of view of identifying literary connections, well, that's the relatively easy part if you happen to be in the English lit business. I mean, you can do that. But if doing the research on Civil War events, that's what takes the heavy lifting. And so one of the things that's remarkable about this book is how much of a story about the response to the Civil War in New York City was. New York City, specifically Manhattan, is kind of the epicenter of the first portion of the book. And so one of the things I had to do when I was trying to explain the situation and say, you know, why certain things are referred to, why certain things are put this way rather than that way, is research the history of the war in the city. And that involved, you know, reading many histories of the Civil War, doing research in original documents, trolling the internet for information, and then being as patient as I possibly could while my very excellent editor wielded a knife and took half of it away, but ultimately to the benefit of the book.
Well, the book is Drum Taps. It is the complete 1865 edition by Walt Whitman. It is edited by Lawrence Kramer. Professor Kramer will be reading from and speaking about Drum Taps at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York, this coming Wednesday, August 5th. And it's a great pleasure to have you here. You can find out more information about the event by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. Again, it's Wednesday, August 5th. Larry, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm very pleased to have been here. Thanks, Joe, for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, it's Walt Whitman's Drum Taps, the complete 1865 edition. Find out more at oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.